I desire your prayers. Look in the scriptures for a little bit today. I appreciate so much the blessing of the Lord, the burden of the Lord, and what He's done for me, and what He's done for you. And thank God for salvation, for the blood. Thank God so much for His love. When I think of this scripture, it says we love Him because He first loved us. I wouldn't know what love is except God extended love. I wouldn't be able to comprehend it. And still, I wonder sometimes how much I'm able to comprehend God's love. Because I think it's, as a songwriter said, Brother Marty made expression about, if we were to have that ocean full of ink to try to express God's love, we'd come up short. Allow me to unplug that fan. I don't need that. My little burden this morning is something a little different than just the about the blood or the love of God, although it's incorporated into it. But have you ever been standing around a fire? I enjoy a fire. My son has a fire ring that he built out of blocks, and occasionally he'll build a little fire and we'll sit around the fire, maybe roast wieners, marshmallows, or just sit and visit. But probably you've heard the little story, little saying, smoke follows beauty, things like that. And you sit around the fire and smoke's in your eyes and it's in your face and it's in your nose. And have you ever had smoke get up your nose? How does that work out? It burns, it hurts, and you cough and you choke over it. Yeah. It's not a pleasant thing at all. Well, there's scripture in the book of Isaiah that I'd like to read. It's in the 65th chapter. And if you'll allow me to read it in the context, I'll read beginning with the first verse. Isaiah 65, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me, unto a nation that was not called by my name. That's part of the love of God. Reaching out to people that didn't really reach toward Him, but His love was extended to humanity anyway. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people, which walketh in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face, that sacrificeth in gardens, burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near to me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Why? Why is that offensive to God? Stand by. Look, you stand over here. You keep your distance, because I'm holier than thou. That is a stench in God's nostrils. My little burden this morning is self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Merriam-Webster's definition of self-righteous is this: having or showing a strong belief that your own actions, opinions, etc. are right, and other people's are wrong. Convinced of one's own righteousness, especially in contrast with the actions and beliefs of others. Narrow-mindedly moralistic. Now, every one of us has a will, we have thoughts, we have ideas, we have opinions about things. Most of the time, If we express a thought, an idea, or an opinion, we do so because we feel like it's right. We feel like it's worthy to be heard. So it's not uncommon for you, me, to think that if I hear a subject presented and I have a comment to make about it, that my comment is founded in truth. Or it has something to back it up. That's my thought. I think it, I feel it, I express it, and surely it must be right. Have you ever thought that you had something formed in your mind so clear and understood it so well until someone else began to speak on the topic and you found out that all of the air went out of your balloon? I've been there. Where I really thought that I understood. I thought I saw. I thought I was able to. I thought I had all of the pieces of the puzzle put together. And then all of a sudden, I realized that, wow, I think I'll just go crawl back in my hole. Because I don't always understand. I don't always see. I don't always... My thoughts, my ideas, although I think they are right, We find sometimes that we're not so smart as we think we are. All right? In the book of Romans, 3rd chapter, 10th verse, it says, "There is none righteous." No, not one. And even in the context, that scripture is not taken out of context. If you read that 3rd chapter of Romans, you'll find that the Apostle Paul is speaking about people. Think about their righteousness and what the Lord has done for them. That there is none. Everybody goes after their own way. Folks, I'll tell you what it amounts to today. You and I, even though we serve the Lord and we want to put Him first and foremost in our lives, we deal with this flesh. Jesus said, I believe it's in the 8th chapter of John, He was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and they said, talking to Him about His own credentials, if you will, they said, you don't have anybody back you up. You're your own witness. Jesus was saying, well, my witness is true. My Father bears witness. And where is your Father? And then Jesus said this, in this passage, He said, you judge after the flesh. You see me as a man, because I am in the flesh. You see me as a human being stand before you. I say to you that I am the Son of God. And you can't accept that because, why? Because I'm flesh. So you judge after the flesh. He said, and He said, I judge no man. But if I judge, my judgment is true. You and I are always dealing with the veil of this flesh. In every point of decision that we make, we're dealing with it from an angle of everything that we have seen, everything that we have heard, everything that we have learned. The teachers that shaped us, molded us, formed us, those things that they put into us, that affects our ability to see, understand, and comprehend the things around us. Yeah. I have never lived in a city. All of my life, I have been raised in a rural community. I don't understand all of the things, the concepts, the meanings of what it means to pound the concrete all day long. I go out and I have green grass and trees around me. Open sky. One time we had one of our meetings there in South Louisiana. I was standing outside. It was one night. It was a clear, cool, crisp, beautiful night. Stepped outside of the chapel and walked a little way from the lights. And we were standing there, looking up in the sky, and the minister says, look at all of the stars. I see them often.
Yes.
I take that for granted. Look at all of the stars. And I think, they're beautiful, aren't they? Yeah. See them all the time. He said, in the city, I don't see the stars. There are lights, always lights around, and they hide the view of the stars. He just stood there and looked. Those are the things that make a difference to you and me. How we see things, how we are able to process things. Our surroundings, our environment. In the book of Luke, in the 18th chapter, let's look at the 9th verse. The Lord spoke a parable. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. In other words, I'll stand here alone. You stand over here. Now the scribes and the Pharisees, in the book of Matthew, I think it's 23rd chapter, Jesus pronounced, I think he spoke of 6 or 7 woes against the scribes and the Pharisees. He talked to them about the way they conducted themselves, the way they handled themselves among the fellow man. He talked to them about one of the things that stands out to me is the sepulchers. He said, you appear to be righteous. You're all cleaned up and washed up on the outside, but he said, but within, you're full of dead men's bones. And you don't do anything to try to lift the burden of one of these around you. But you will sure bind it on them. You'll pour it out on them. You'll give it to them. Jesus said, I think in the beginning of that little discourse, he said, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Now whatever they tell you to do, that you do. Because they're teaching you the law. What they say is truth. But don't do as they do. Don't act like they act. You follow the commandments, you follow the teachings, but don't do what they do. Because they seek the uppermost seats. They want to be heard. When they go out in the community, when they want somebody to hear them pray. When they get ready to give their alms, watch me. Here's my good deed. And it wasn't because they wanted to do good deeds. It's because they do it to what? Be seen of men. And Jesus said, they have their reward. They'll have their reward. What reward is that? The glory of men. They'll have their reward. And that's so empty. So empty. So he says to them, he spoke a parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee. Listen to these words. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And those are things to be thankful for, that I don't live my life after that fashion. And then he said something that really told the story. Or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now Jesus said in the book of John, the 15th chapter, I am the vine. You're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do everything. Without me ye can do nothing. Nothing. I am amazed. Maybe you've heard me comment about it before. I am amazed. The scripture in the psalm says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I am amazed at the things that God put into these human bodies.
Amen.
Things that you and I don't even have to think about that happen automatically. I don't have to think about a breath. I don't have to think about making my heart beat. I don't have to say, heart, it's time to pump. I don't have to think about those kinds of things. When I reach to touch this glass of water, immediately my fingertips sense the things that are here. I sense moisture. I sense cold. I feel that the weight of it. My mind, my brain, the things that God has put in me cause me to be able to have the motor skills to lift that cup of water. Fearfully, wonderfully made.
Yes.
Jesus said, remember what Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If you didn't have God, if God wasn't a part of you, if God wasn't the Creator, if God wasn't who He is, you could do nothing.
That's right.
Nothing. You couldn't pick up this glass of water. You wouldn't have the sensory perception. You wouldn't be able to smell the smoke in your nose. You wouldn't have the reaction to vile things. You wouldn't be able to hear. You wouldn't be able to see. You wouldn't be able to speak. I marvel. I was talking with my wife a while back. We were talking about preaching from the pulpit. We were talking about things like that. She says, I know that you make notes, a lot of notes. Yes, I make a lot of notes. And I do have notes. And I use notes. And she said, I said, honey, I might have notes before me, but I never know what it is I'm going to say when I get in that pulpit.
That's right.
I'll have thoughts in my mind. I'll have scriptures in my mind. I'll have references. I'll have things that I have prayed about, that I have sat and meditated on and said, Lord, what about those kinds of things? But what God is able to do with a human body,
amen,
to cause there to be comprehension, the ability to form words, thoughts in the mind, put those things out as expressions. The God who gave His Holy Spirit to come down and dwell in the heart of an individual, to cause there to be enunciation, to cause there to be the ability to read the Scriptures and express and expound those things. I don't know all the things. I don't have a written speech. It would be as sounding brass and tinkling cymbals if I did. But it comes from God Almighty. And when we recognize that Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches, without me you can do nothing.
Right.
Without God, folks, if a man decides to spurn God, turn his back on God, still, he has the ability to do many of these things.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Scripture tells us He causes His rain to fall on the unjust and the just. And the sun that shines on the evil and the good because of the love of God. And the things that God has put inside of me, the things that God has put inside of you to be able to do, they're not of your own doing. For a man to have the idea, the thought process that I'm going to stand here, you stand over there. I'm better than you. I have more than you. I'm holier than you. Self-righteousness is a stench to God. That's the point of this parable. He said he spoke this parable unto them because they trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Here's a little bit of information about these scribes and Pharisees. More specifically, the Pharisees. Walking down the street in the market, walk away from the main concourse. I'll walk down the side because I'm not going to have contact with the common man. Because if I touch the common man, I have to go wash. How appealing is that? How appealing is that? To have the mindset that if I touch the common man, I'm unclean. Reminded of Jesus and his interaction with the woman at the well. She said, "Sir, I perceive you're a Jew. And the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Why are you here?" The Lord had something greater than what the law and the Pharisees had extended and expanded and what they had done and presented to humanity. The Lord had something. They had exhibited a self-righteousness. Do you remember what, in that passage in Matthew, what Jesus said to them? He said, "You say that if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we wouldn't have done the things that they do. We give honor to them. We reverence them. We take care of their graves. And we say now, if we had been in the days of our fathers, they persecuted the prophets, they did all these things, we wouldn't have done that." He says, "You seek to kill me. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. You seek to kill. You're going to tell me that walk on the other side of the street. You're going to tell me that wash your hands if you touch another individual. You're going to tell me that if you had lived in the days of your fathers, you wouldn't have done those things." Self-righteousness is a stench in God's nostrils. In the book of Galatians, second chapter, verse 21, the Apostle Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." In other words, I don't challenge it. "For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And in 3:21, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." In the first part of this third chapter, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Deeds and actions of the flesh, thinking that I can trust in my own flesh, I can trust in my own actions, I can trust in my own things to cause me to be righteous before God. The things that I do, the decisions that I make, the things that I choose to do, the things that I will incorporate in my life, the things that I will not incorporate in my life, those things have a bearing. I believe it was the Apostle Paul that asked this question. What do you have that you weren't given? What do you have? What do you possess that you weren't given? The things that you have in your possession today. Houses, lands, homes, automobiles, bank accounts, whatever it may be. How did you get that? I worked hard. Amen. Who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you the ability to think? Who gave you the ability to reason? I'm amazed at home. The chapel there, LaRonda, was built by and large by Brother Gerald Harmon, a craftsman. Local folks have heard me comment about him. You may have heard me comment some about him. A craftsman. A man that when he put two pieces of wood together and trim, in framing, whatever it may be, it fit. And if it didn't fit, it didn't go up. If you walk around that chapel and you look at some of the molding, the trim around the casing of the windows and the doors, you'd be hard-pressed to find a crack or a seam. You look at the work that was done. Who gave that ability? Yes, there was learning. The Apostle Paul said, I have learned. Speaking about the things in his life, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. The point was, he learned. He didn't have everything fall on him at one time. When you and I make a decision to serve the Lord, and we want to get right before God, and we ask for forgiveness, and we ask for sanctification in His Holy Spirit. Did it all fall on you with one big whoop? I have learned. I've learned. He learned it. Brother Gerald Harmon learned from his father and other craftsmen. He learned. And he learned how to make it fit. Learned how to make it work. He learned. The credit, the ability that God gave him was because he learned. He was willing to be taught. He was willing to listen. He was willing for somebody to show him how to use the tools. How to make it all fit together, nice and tight and snug. If a man stands before God and says, I was able to do all of this. Their scripture talks about that, isn't it? That mine own hand has gotten me this wealth. I did this. Nebuchadnezzar, remember? I have this great kingdom that I have. The Lord looked at that and said, what? It's done. I tried, Nebuchadnezzar. I tried to talk to you. It's done. The Lord wants us to understand that there's not one thing that we possess in His kingdom of His righteousness that we are able to procure of our own. I spoke to you early at the very beginning about the things, how we process information, how we see things. We do it through the veil of this flesh. Can I tell you something? From my standpoint, I won't speak for you. I will speak only for me. This is pathetic. This is pathetic. The only way that this flesh is able to accomplish anything is because there is one greater than me.
That's right.
There is one greater than me that gave me abilities. And if I am able to rise from my bed of a morning, the first things, Lord help me, that I want to do when I open my eyes is say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for another day. Thank you for strength. Thank you for the ability to rise from this bed. Thank you for those things that you have given to me that I don't deserve. I don't deserve them, but you give them to me. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 beginning. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you hear these words? Do we understand what is being said here? That the benefits that I receive of righteousness, of clean, holy living, didn't come because of my own ability, my own understanding, my own comprehension. It came because of reconciliation. It came because God was willing to give His Son to die in my stead when I had nothing that I could give, that God made it possible for me to possess these things through His love, His grace, His abundant mercy, nothing that I have of myself. Let's reread these in that context. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. God, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How? In Him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, not self. Not me. This is pathetic. Only because of God, His love, His mercy, and His reconciliation am I able to have any righteousness or holiness. 2 Corinthians 3, 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. What is Galatians 6 and 3? If any man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. If I think it's right for me to pass on the side of the street instead of having concourse with my fellow man, I think I'm really something. I think I've really got it all together. I think I've got the understanding. May God help us, folks. In the book of Jude, beautiful passage, beautiful words. Jude 24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. who is able to present us faultless? Unto Him that is able to present you faultless. If we take the mindset that I have this ability, that I am righteous, I am holy, the only way that I can be righteous, the only righteousness I have is because God has extended it to me. And as I stand before the Father, I'm just going to speak to you from my perspective. I look at myself. I know the battles that I face daily. I know the things that the enemy tries to beset me with on a regular basis. I expect that type of thing happens to you. I expect that the thief that came to steal and to kill and to destroy for no other reason but to steal and to kill and to destroy is set out to try to do that to you. He certainly does it with me. And I recognize that in my pitiful, weak flesh, I have nothing. When Jesus says, "You judge after the flesh," He was right. Speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, "You judge after the flesh." Folks, everything that we see, everything that we do, every determination we make, as I said earlier, comes through the prism of everything that we have had around us in life. And when God makes us, through Christ Jesus, a new creature, I thank God for that. I thank God for the new creation. I thank God for the ability to be a transformed individual. I thank God for that. But I still find myself dealing with this. Flesh and blood. And if you'll allow me to have this liberty, I kind of think that when we come to the end of our journey, and if the Lord is able to say, "Well done, thou faithful servant." Could go so many different directions here, but I think of stewardship. It says, Scripture says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." Would you rather someone, if you gave someone something to see after, to be steward of, and the time came for accounting, would you rather them try to paint some type of rosy picture to you of how things went? Or would you rather them just be up front and tell you, "Lord, this is what you gave me. Here's what I tried to do with it. This is the best I could do." And if the Lord is able to look at that and say, "Well, I gave you 5 and you brought back other 5. Or I gave you 5 and you brought me back the 5 I gave you and 2 more. I gave you 3 and you brought me back the 6. Or I gave you 3 and you brought back 4. But you did try to do something with the things I gave you." Would you rather have someone tell you, "Look, I'm sorry. This is what I tried to do. I tried to work this situation out and it fell apart on me. And I'm sorry, I don't have much to give back to you." I'd rather somebody be honest and upfront with me. Tell me what happened. Tell me what you did. I go before the Lord. And I have to tell Him, "Lord, I made a mistake. I made a mistake on this. I thought I understood it. And I found out that I made a mistake." And the Lord is able to say, "Well, you tried. You gave an honest effort." Well, if we come to the end of the journey and the Lord says, "Well done, thou faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord." I rather expect that part of our rejoicing around the throne of God and our praise and thanksgiving to Him will be when we see how much righteousness was imputed to us, even when we didn't understand some of the things that were around us. I think also that we're going to have, I believe that we'll have situations in life that we'll never come up against, that we won't see, we won't understand, we won't face. There are things I am convinced about myself that I still don't know. There are things that I find about myself that I am learning on a regular basis. Maybe you find it that way. Maybe it's not. Maybe you have already attained and there's no more improvement to be made. I hope it's that way for you. But it's not for me. I find myself learning constantly. And I wonder sometimes if we'll stand before God at the end of the journey and He says, "Well done, thou faithful servant. You were a good steward. I gave you salvation. You used it to your benefit. You tried to do the right things. You tried to make right decisions. You tried to make sound decisions. You tried to steer yourself away from the things of the world. You made yourself a new creature. You didn't follow after the things of the flesh. Well done, thou faithful servant. Enter the joys of thy Lord and get inside of God's heaven and then realize, oh Lord, I didn't know how much you really did save me from. Praise your holy name around the throne of God for all eternity because of His love and His mercy and the righteousness that He was willing to bestow on us when we are unworthy. Willing to bestow His, because we don't have anything about our righteousness is as filthy rags. There is none righteous, no, not one. When you peel away all of the layers, folks, and get it down to the fundamental basics, we are not righteous. God is able to give us His righteousness. And I thank God for it. And while we make effort here to serve Him and do the right things, I thank God that He is able to see those and work through those. That woman at the well, Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband." She said, "I don't have a husband." "Oh, you've answered that one right, because you had five husbands. And the one that you have now isn't your husband." Jesus was willing to entertain her company, knowing the situation she was in life. Jesus was willing to enter into Simon's house and that little woman that washed his feet. He was willing to allow her to anoint his feet, wash his feet, dry them with the hairs of her head. And Simon and others said, if he'd known who this was, he wouldn't let her be near him. And the Lord said afterwards, "Simon, I got something to say to you." And I imagine Simon was ready. "Yes, this is my turn. Now it's my turn. Simon, when I came in, you didn't give me a kiss. This woman hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I've got here. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed me. You didn't do these things, Simon. The Lord is able to take the vilest and make them a new creature. I'm thankful for that. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, but God is able to transform through the power of His Word, the power of His Spirit, the power in His life. Those things that God has, the power in God, is able to come over you and me and make us a new creature. In Christ Jesus. Let's be careful and not think that I have everything figured out. I've got all the answers. And let's not conduct ourselves in such a way that when we have ability to have, the opportunity rather, to have concourse with our fellow man, that we step aside and say, "I want to be careful. I don't want to get, I don't want to get dirty. I want to be careful. I don't want to have to go wash. I want to be careful." Because there is nothing more offensive to our fellow man than for them to pick up that "I'm going to stand here, you stand there." That is an offense. Not only is it an offense to our fellow man, but it is an offense to God. "Freely ye have received, freely give." Amen.